إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه، بلغ رسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في سبيله حتى أتاه اليقين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. A day witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity. Whomever Allah guides, there is none to misguide. And whomever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. أما بعد، فإن الله تعالى قد جعل للمسلم على أخيه المسلم حقوقا. ومعلوم أن درجات الأخوة في الإسلام ثلاثة. في الأخوة في الإنسانية، وهي أدنى درجات الأخوة، ثم الأخوة في النسب، يعني إخوتك من أبيك وأمك، وأعلاها هو الأخوة في الدين، الأخوة في الإسلام. فاليوم إن شاء الله نتكلم عن حقوق المسلم على إخوته أو أخيه المسلم. Today إن شاء الله we'll be talking about the rights of a Muslim on the Muslim community, on his brothers and sisters in the community. We said a long time ago that there are three different levels of brotherhood in Islam. The lowest is brotherhood in humanity. The second one is brotherhood in blood, your biological brothers and sisters. Number three, and this is the highest one, the brotherhood in Islam, your brothers and sisters in the community. وَذَكَرْنَا أَنَّ صَحَابَةِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ جَاءُوا مِنْ خَلْفِيَّاتٍ مُخْتَلِفٍ فمنهم الأبيض ومنهم الأسود ومنهم الأسياوي ومنهم الإفريقي ومنهم الأوروبي وكذا، وكانوا يتعاملون مع بعضهم البعض بأخوة ومحبة وإنسانية. We said a long time that the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Sahaba, they came from different backgrounds. Some of them were Persian, some of them were Arab, some of them were African, some of them came from Europe and different places, but they were treating one another with respect, and they were living in harmony and brotherhood. And they knew that they had rights on each other, toward each other. وَنَحْنُ نَعِيشُ هُنَا فِي كَنَدَا فِي غُرْبَةٍ كُلُّنَا كُلِّ الْمَوْجُودِينَ هِنَا فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ أو الْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي كَنَدَا عُمُومًا نَحْنُ تَغَرَّبْنَا عَنْ بِلَادِنَا وَنَحْتَاجُ إِلَى بَعْضِنَا الْبَعْضِ فمن الواجب علينا أن نتعلم حقوقنا على غيرنا وحقوق الآخرين علينا. أحيانا الإنسان يحس لما يعيش في مسجد أو في كوميونيتي كبير، جارية كبيرة، الناس يأتون إلى المساجد يوم الجمعة أو الصلوات ويتعاملون مع بعضهم البعض كأن المسجد أتوبيس، مجرد تجلس فيه بضع دقائق، عشر دقائق ثم تمشي، وترى الناس طول السنة ولا تعرف اسم الجالس جنبك، أو إذا مرض فلان لا تعرف إنه هو مرض، أو تغيب عن المسجد شهرا لا تعرف لماذا تغيب. وحدث والله إنه في إحدى المرات ماتت إحدى الأخوات وذهبوا إلى المقام ليدفنوها، ذهب أربعة أشخاص أو خمسة، والأخت كانت سمينة فما استطاعوا حمل الكفن ليدفنوها لأنها كانت ثقيلة والعدد قليل، وشكى الإخوة ذلك. We live here in Canada, all of us. We came from our countries back home, 10,000 miles away, 15,000 miles away. So we need each other. We need to treat each other as brothers and sisters in this community. We cannot live, we cannot survive, we cannot succeed without helping each other. وَنَحْنُ نُسْأَلْ عَنْ حُقُوقِ إِخْوَتِنَا وَأَخَوَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ مَعِيشُونَ مَعْنَا فِي الْجَالِيَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ يشهد لذلك حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي رواه أبو هريرة، والحديث صحيح في صحيح مسلم. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله تعالى يقول يوم القيامة، حديث قدسي، عبدي مرضت فلم تعدني، فأقول العبد يا رب كيف أعودك وأنت رب العالمين؟ قال أما علمت أن فلانا أخوك مرض فلم تعده؟ أما علمت أنك لو عدته يعني زرته في مرضه لوجدتني عنده؟ عبدي استطعمتك فلم تطعمني، فأقول يا رب كيف أطعمك وأنت رب العالمين؟ قال أما علمت أن فلانا كان جائعا أو استطعمك فلم تطعمه؟ أما علمت أنك لو أطعمته لوجدت ثواب ذلك عندي؟ والحديث يعني طويل. So we will be questioned on the day of judgment about the rights of our brothers and sisters on us. In this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Hurairah, the Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's a Qudsi hadith, Allah will say to his servant, "Oh my servant, I feel sick and you never visited me." So the servant will say, "Oh Allah, how can I visit you and you are the Lord of the worlds?" So Allah will say, "Didn't you know that your brother so-and-so feels sick and you didn't visit him? Had you visited him, you would have found the reward with him. Oh my servant, your brother was in need, I was in need, and you didn't help me." So the servant would say, "Oh Allah, how can I help you?" Then Allah would say, "Didn't you know that your brother was desperate, your brother was in need, and you could help him, but still you didn't give him a hand? Had you helped him, you would have found the reward with him." And so on and so forth. وحقوق المسلم على المسلم كثيرة نذكر بعضها اليوم لضيق الوقت ونبدأ بالست حقوق. فأقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح في صحيح البخاري والمسلم: حق المسلم على المسلم ست: إذا لقيته فسلم عليه، وإذا دعاك فأجبه، وإذا استنصحك فانصح له، وإذا عطس فحمد الله فشمته، وإذا مرض فعده، وإذا مات فاتبعه. So we will talk briefly about some of these rights. There are so many of them, but we'll mention a few of them because of the time limit. We'll start with the six rights of a Muslim on his brothers and sisters in the community. So the Prophet ﷺ says in this authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, a Muslim has six rights on his Muslim brother. So number one, if you meet him, your brother give him salam. And every time we will use the word he or him in the following hadith, it means he or she. Because a Muslim sister has rights on her sisters too. So when you meet your brother, give him salam. And salam is not just a word you say with your tongue, it has meanings. Because if you give someone salam, you cannot betray them, and you cannot hurt them in any way. Otherwise, you say it, but you don't mean it. So when you see him, give him salam. Number two, when he invites you to his house, honor his invitation and go to his house. So this is number two. Number three, when he asks you for advice, you have to give him advice if you can. Some people, they don't have the knowledge or the ability to give advice, but when people ask them for advice, they are ashamed to say, "I don't know." So they just say anything, "Go this way," and they trick you. So you have to give nasiha if you know how to give nasiha. Number four, if the person sneezes and says alhamdulillah, tell them yarhamukumullah. It's dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on them. And number five, if the person falls sick, idha marida, visit him. You visit your brother or your sister in their house and wish them good and make dua for them. And you have to follow the adab of the dua, or the adab of ziyara or iyadat al-marid, visiting the sick. You give them hope that mashallah you look good today. Inshallah you will recover soon, and make dua for them. Some people when they go, they stay for hours, man. And the sick brother wants to go to the restroom or get medication and they can't. And you keep telling them stories and stories, so much so that the sick brother will ask Allah to take them. So you leave them alone. Or you make them lose hope in life, man. You tell them, "Oh man, you look horrible. Hopeless case. You got cancer, man? I don't know anyone who got cancer and survived, man. You will die, I'm telling you, you will die. My neighbor died of cancer, his wife died of cancer, my cousin died of cancer, hopeless case, you will die."
So what are you doing, man? You are killing your brother. So you have to follow the adab of ziyarah and give them hope and make dua for them. And number six, and this is the last one, if they die, follow them. And every time I say this hadith, people misunderstand me. They think follow them means die after them. It doesn't mean this. It means when they die, follow their funeral, pray janazah for them, and go to the graveyard to bury them. This is the meaning of the hadith. السابع ذكرنا ستة والسابع منها أن تحب له ما تحب لنفسك كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح في البخاري ومسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. So number two, number seven in this collection, in this list, you love for your brother what you love for yourself. You don't take the good for yourself and give them the junk. And by the same analogy, you hate for them what you hate for yourself. This is the meaning of the hadith. تحب لهم ما تحب لنفسك وتكره لهم ما تكره لنفسك. So this is the meaning of the hadith. And the meaning is, if you and your brother apply, both of you, for a job, and he gets the job, you feel happy for him as if you yourself got the job. You don't cry and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that their car will break down or he will die so you get the job. This is not loving for him what you love for yourself. One time I was giving a lecture to students and I told them after the talk about brotherhood and loving for others what you love for yourself, I'm going to throw some candy, take the candy and give it to the person next to you. They will say, okay, okay. They almost killed each other off. They wanted to take the candy for themselves. So it is easy to say it, but when it comes to practice, not all of us are able to do it. And this is jihad against yourself, against your lower self. الأمر الثالث ألا تظلم فالظلم محرم سواء على المسلم أو على الكافر. Number three, you are not allowed to wrong or deal unjustly with your brothers and sisters. Dealing unjustly with people is haram, whether it's in regards to a Muslim or a non-Muslim. A Muslim has to be just, because at the end of the day, you are dealing with Rabbil Alameen. You are not dealing with the people. فَلَا تَظْلِمِ النَّاسِ وَالنَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الحديث الصحيح في صحيح مسلم المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره كل المسلم على المسلم حرام ماله ودمه وعرضه. So you are not allowed to wrong or abuse your brothers and sisters. The Prophet ﷺ says in this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Muslim is the brother, or for that matter, the sister of other Muslims. A Muslim is not allowed to abuse his brothers and sisters. A Muslim is not allowed to look down upon his brothers and sisters, and a Muslim is not allowed to look down his brothers and sisters. Everything that belongs to a Muslim, his blood, his money, and his dignity is haram for other Muslims. They are not allowed to violate it. المعنى أيضا ذكر في حديث آخر في صحيح البخاري والمسلم يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه ومن كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته ومن ستر مسلما في الدنيا ستره الله يوم القيامة ومن فرج عن مسلم كربة من كرب الدنيا فرج الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. The same meaning is mentioned in another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ says that the Muslim is the brother of his Muslim brother. He shouldn't look down upon his brother, abuse him, or let him down. And if a Muslim gives help to another Muslim in this life, Allah will help you. And if you remove a hardship from your Muslim brother or sister, Allah will remove a hardship from you on the Day of Judgment. If you cover your brother and sister in this life and don't expose them, if they do something wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover you in the next life. فَلَا تَظْلِمِ الْمُسْلِمِ الْأَمْرُ الرَّابِعُ وَنَخْتِمْ بِهِ الْيَوْمِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ حَتَّى لَا نُطِيلْ عَلَيْكُمْ هُوَ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ لَا يُرَوِّعْ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمْ يُرَوِّعُهُ يعني يُخَوِّفُهُ فورد في الحديث الصحيح في صحيح أبي داود أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحابته كانوا مسافرون فنام أحدهم وترك متاعه بجواره فجاء بعض الصحابة وكانوا يعني بيهزروا معاه، يعني يلاطفوه أو يلاعبوه، فأخذوا متاعه وأخفوه. فلما استيقظ لم يجد متاعه ففزع وخاف. What happened؟ فقال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع أخاه المسلم. وفي صحيح الآخر، في صحيح البخاري الأدب المفرد، يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: حتى وإن كان لاعبا أو جادا لا تخيف أخاك المسلم حتى وإن كنت لاعبا. So you are not allowed. This is number four. We conclude with it. A Muslim is not allowed to scare or terrify his Muslim brother. And for that matter, any other human being. You are not allowed to scare them or terrify them, even if you are joking. In this authentic hadith in Sahih Abi Dawood, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba, they were traveling together. And someone, one of them, fell asleep and he left his stuff next to him, his shoes or his bag. So some of the Sahaba, they wanted to joke with him. They took his stuff and they hid it away. So when he woke up, he looked around. His stuff is not there. His stuff is gone. So he was scared. What happened? Where's my stuff? So they started to laugh. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, a Muslim is not allowed to terrify or scare his brother, even if he or she is joking. When we were students, some of us were evil. In some cases, the brother would be asleep and they put matches between his toes and they light the matches and the brother would wake up terrified. In another example, we have some medical students with us and some of them were evil. They used to put the bones and the skull under the pillow of one of the students. And in one case, wallahi, the brother got so terrified he wanted to jump from the fourth floor. Was screaming at night. How many times you heard of a Muslim who called his Muslim brother on the 1st of April Fool, and he tells him, okay, I'm sorry to tell you I love you, but I'm sorry to tell you that your mother just died. So the brother gets scared, and eventually they tell him, okay, we got you on this one. It's April's Fool. So you are not allowed to terrify a Muslim. فإذا كان الله سبحانه وتعالى سيحاسبك على هذه الأمور يوم القيامة إخافة المسلم أو ترويعه فماذا عن سفك دماء المسلمين في سوريا وفي غيره؟ يعني الترويع حتى لو بتحصل معه لا يجوز ترويعه، فماذا بقتل المسلمين وسفك دمائهم في سوريا وفي اليمن وفي مصر وغيرها؟ وماذا عن تشريد الكبار السن؟ وماذا عن ترميل النساء؟ وماذا عن تيتيم الأطفال؟ والله إن في هذا اليوم الله سبحانه وتعالى سيغضب غضبا ما غضب مثله قط. والله سبحانه وتعالى يحاسب المسؤولين ويقول فلانا قتل ظلما لماذا لم تنصره، وفلانا تيتمت لماذا قتلت زوجها، وفلانا مات أبوه لماذا يتمته ولم تنصره، وفلان ألقي به في السجن، والشيخ الفلاني قتل، والمسجد الفلاني حرق، والمصاحف أهينت، ماذا تفعل؟ مش انت كنت رئيس للبلد المسؤول وكذا، ولا انت رئيس بس اوانت تحاسب يوم القيامة. So if joking and terrifying Muslims even jokingly will make you accountable on the day of judgment, what about killing Muslims, shedding their blood, making babies orphans and making ladies widows? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask those who are in charge in our countries back home. Someone was thrown in jail for no reason. Why didn't you give him justice? A lady lost her husband. Why? A baby lost his father. Why? The masajid were destroyed. Why? The masahif were burned. Why? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold these people accountable on the day of judgment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yu'allimana ma yanfa'una wa yanfa'una bima 'allamana. As'alullah al-fadl. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالم. أما بعد، فإيمانًا منا بحقوق إخوتنا وأخواتنا عليه، فقد بدأنا منذ عدة أشهر بتوفيق من الله وبرعاية القائمين على هذا المسجد مشروعًا أسميناه هوم دعوة. هوم دعوة هو عبارة عن زيارة للشباب، وهم بالآلاف الذين لا يأتون إلى المساجد ولا يصلون، في بعضهم بيحشش وديتنج وشورت وكذا. فنذهب إليهم يدعوننا أنا ومجموعة من الشباب في الدعوة في المسجد، ونزورهم ونعطيهم المحاضرات ونصلي معهم ونجيب عن أسئلتهم. فمن كان منكم عنده رغبة أن نزور أولادهم الشباب في البيت وننصحهم وندعوهم ونقربهم إلى الله، فإن شاء الله نحن نرحب بذلك، ويعني تكلم مع الريسبشن في المسجد ونحدد موعد، وهذه الزيارات تكون يوم الأحد بمشيئة الله من كل أسبوع. So with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the assistance of the administration of the masjid, we started a few months ago this project we call Home Da'wah. So what happens, basically we receive invitations from some of the youth in the community. They never come to the masjid, they don't pray, and some of them they do drugs, they drink, dating and all that stuff. So they are Muslims just by name. They invite us, we go to their homes, we give them da'wah, we give them nasiha, we talk to them about the challenges facing Muslims, we talk to them about maghfirah and tawbah and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we teach them how to make salah, we pray with them salatul isha. So if you want us, if you have a problem like this, and you want to invite us to your house to talk to your children, inshallah we can visit them on Sunday after salatul maghrib. All you need to do is talk to the reception of the masjid and we will arrange for a meeting. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما فيه خير الجالية المسلمة ويعلمنا ما ينفعنا وينفعنا بما علمنا. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم انصر بإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر بإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في سوريا وفي مصر وفي اليمن وفي العراق وفلسطين وفي كل مكان يظلم فيه المسلمون. اللهم احقن دماء المسلمين ووحد على الحق كلمتهم واجمع شملهم واحفظ نساءهم وأطفالهم وأموالهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وداوي جرحاهم، اللهم وداوي جرحاهم وارحم موتاهم وتقبلهم في الشهداء. اللهم عليك بالطغاة الظالمين، اللهم عجل بهلاكهم وزلزل الأرض من تحتهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم لا تسلطهم على أحد من خلقك بعزتك يا عزيز يا جبار، إنك يا ربنا لبالمرصاد. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وأقم الصلاة.